Good afternoon, well, it's not afternoon yet, this is Sheila, and welcome to the February 23rd CAP monthly call. We're going to start it by introducing everybody that's in the room.
Sheila.
Terry Rucker.
Rick Gillett.
Jimmy Stevens.
Andy Reid.
Frank Lovett.
And who do we have on the line?
Kevin Holmes, you put on the door.
Okay, I got you, Bernard. I got Kevin Wilkins.
Danielle Carraza.
Danielle, thank you.
Gavin Smith.
Wait, let's do the last two again. Who was that?
This is Ken Cantor.
And
Ken.
Gavin Smith.
Gavin Smith.
Nick Clapp.
Where's Chris Holder? Okay.
Jerry Enzwinger.
Hi, Jerry. I know Mike Partan was not going to be able to join. Let me make sure I got everybody on the line. I got Jerry, I got Bernard, I got Kevin, I got Danielle, I got Ken Cantor, I got Gavin Smith, I got Dick Clapp, and Lori. Anybody I missed? The dog. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We got two other people, actually three people just joined the room here.
Christian Shield.
Don Knutson.
Sasha Cheney.
Okay, we're going to start ahead.
Jeff Templeton.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Jeff. Gotcha. Okay, so we're going to start with having the new CAP members that just joined since our January meeting. Some people kind of got a chance to meet Bernard on our January 15th CAP. Our CAP meeting, but I'm going to have Bernard go ahead and introduce and talk a little bit about himself and how he was involved with Camp Lejeune.
Okay, my name is Bernard Adore. I was in the Marine Corps. I was stationed at Parris Island. I did my training at Parris Island. I then went to North Carolina Camp Lejeune for Personnel Administration, of course, 0151. I was stationed at Mainside. I was pretty much all over the base doing personnel administration, doing my personnel administration training. And I did my training at Camp Johnson, and I was stationed in Mainside, and they moved me back to Courthouse Bay. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to serve the Marine Corps, and I wanted to do 20 years. After I left Jaffa in 84, 85, I went to Washington, D.C., the Marine Barracks, 8th and 9th. I did some training there, and then along after I finished my training at Marine Guard 8 to 9 with the solid drill team. I wasn't on the drill team. I was just, a guard with them, helping them, get out to the parade deck. And I enjoyed my duty real well in D.C. And then I started having problems right there shortly after with neurobehavioral effects. Okay, I started seeing the doctor and stuff, and he diagnosed me with some kind of neurobehavioral effect thing. And then they discharged me. They gave me an ultimatum to either get a military medical discharge. And I got a medical discharge out of Washington, D.C. for medical. They didn't give me any benefits at that time. So I just, once I got out, I started seeing doctor after I got out. I seen two or three doctors after I got out. They hospitalized me. And they kept treating. I've been getting treated for neural behavior effect for the last 28 years. So they seem to link it with the contaminated at water at Camp Lejeune. The other day I feel that this is pretty much me. I started a nonprofit organization helping homeless veterans with advocacy for their benefits called BB&E. And that's pretty much where I'm at right now.
Hey, Bernard, welcome. And it's good to have you as a CAP member because I know you've been to a lot of our CAP meetings in the past. Danielle.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Danielle Carraza. I am, I was born and raised at Camp Lejeune. So my mom was Navy and my dad was Marine Corps, and they were stationed there while my mom was pregnant with me. She was a Naval Corpsman. So we lived there till about 86, and I subsequently joined the Army at 17, almost got disowned. So I have the privilege of being a service-disabled veteran as well as being a family member, and my current work scenario for the past 4 to 5 years, I've been working with women veterans, the military community, and homeless veterans here in D.C. So I have lots of experience working with the government and the different nonprofit community partners, so I'm hoping I can make a difference on the CAP.
Hey, we're really glad to have you as well, and go Army. The next one, we're gonna go right into our agenda because we've got quite a few agenda items. The first one is ATSDR general updates, and we're gonna start with the February 2nd meeting with Veterans Affairs. I have a couple people here that one, and I have Frank and Terry kind of talk about that meeting. So we went up there, was meeting with the staffers and the VA. Most of the meeting was really focused on, I think, VA and staffer interaction, but we just gave them a briefing on our study results, which we had done for the VA before, and this was really more to brief the staffers. And then one thing that came out of that meeting was a high-level partnership between Dr. Bricey and a counterpart at the VA.
Yeah, the NRC report came up because Brooks Tucker brought it up and stated that it was outdated and should not be used, should not be relied upon. So we didn't mention that there.
Does anybody have questions about the VA meeting? Most people, the next agenda item is the meeting we just had on February 20th, which was Friday, just Friday, with the Department of Defense.
Well, I have a question. This is Jerry. Is Dr. Bricey writing a letter to the Secretary of the Veterans Administration?
Yes, that letter is almost in its final. It should be probably, signed today.
That's fine. You've got to be very careful who you address this letter to. I mean, if you send it to some underling, it is not going to get disseminated throughout the entire system.
Additional information, they would recruit and make a decision on both projects.
Yeah,
it wasn't clear whether they were going to fund them with the same power, where they were at. So it was left up in the air as to that.
Yeah, we walked away. At least when I went there, I thought we would walk away with an agreement to fund, and we did not walk away with that.
What does your funding do?
Well, Jerry, we're at the end of February, so the money we're spending, at least on the soil vapor intrusion project, a lot of that is coming out of our general budget.
Okay. So, the fact that they pushed back and did not agree to fund, what is ATSDR doing about this? Anybody?
Yeah. Jerry, well, this is Jimmy. I mean, I'll jump in. I mean, I think the next plan is we have some very specific things we need to get them answers to. Hopefully that will break.
What specifically were you not prepared to answer?
Well, Jerry, from my standpoint, I didn't go up there with an expectation that I would get a lot of technical questions, specifically on what sorts of models we were going to use for the soil vapor intrusion, how we were handling data limitations, our data quality objectives. They peppered us with a lot of questions at a level of detail that I don't think any of us were expecting.
Wait a minute. When I ask about why Morris and his team wasn't involved in this vapor intrusion stuff, was the answer I got was that you had somebody in-house that was completely educated on vapor intrusion models.
That's the case.
Well, okay. Why weren't you prepared to answer these questions?
Jerry, we did not expect that level of detail in this meeting.
These people, I mean, how many times you people gotta be hit over the head by these people and ambushed? That's their MO.
Yeah, Jerry, they told us, my understanding, was that this would not be a meeting about the weeds because there would be then another meeting in March where the weeds would be discussed. So they weren't.
Well, hey, so when did you guys start believing everything that the Department of Navy tells you?
I'm just saying what they said. Okay.
This is Tim. Did they have an opportunity to have some input or to kind of have at least an idea of what the process was up to this point, or was this new to them? Well, we've discussed the vapor intrusion project with them a number of times.
Okay.
So
that's, you're right, that is a little odd that they all of a sudden are now coming up with a bunch of questions, but.
Well, I'll tell you what it's all about. It's not odd, and it's not a surprise for me, because vapor intrusion is going to be a huge issue, not only for the Department of the Navy, but the entire Department of Defense in the future. You should assume it's coming.
Also, the private industry, too. I mean, there's so much riding on that there's a lot of money on the line.
Yep. I mean, now, let's get back to the funding part. The Department of the Navy and any polluter are statutorily obligated to fund ATSDR studies. Now, the basis for that funding are the reports that ATSDR generates. Where is the public health assessment?
Which public health assessment, Jerry?
The new one.
Are you talking about the redo?
Yeah.
1997, yeah.
The region of the 97. Well,
97 is both the reevaluation of drinking water as well as the soil vapor intrusion investigation. That was a pathway we didn't look at in 97. We didn't have guidance on it. That was a gap that we need to address with another health assessment. So,
yeah, I realize that, but you guys said that you were going to issue this thing in chapters or pieces. You were going to go ahead when the water part was done and go ahead and issue it.
Right. Jerry, the drinking water document is currently undergoing review. What would be as robust and well done as possible. So, frankly,
yeah, but you, I mean, you got to get it issued. That is the foundation for your argument, and the foundation for person then to fund your initiatives for your studies.
We agree, Jerry. We're trying to get it on as quickly as we can.
Well, good God, the water model was done how long ago? In March of 2013. Why is it taking 2 damn years? You had this information for even longer than that. Why?
We also got input from the CAP on some exposure pathways that we hadn't considered initially. We had to do additional modeling.
I'm talking about the water model part of it.
Well, I'm talking about the drinking water exposures. We're looking at exposures to workers in dining halls. We're looking at exposures to people who swim in the indoor pools, recreational swim.
Yeah.
We're looking at the Marines in training. So these are some unusual pathways that we had to do some additional modeling for.
Yeah, but you guys took it for over a year to ask for that information. Way after the water model was available.
Yeah, we're working to get it out, Jerry, as quickly as possible. I know we're late on it, Jerry, but again, we all want the best document possible to be put on the street.
Well, the main question I have is, anybody down there going to have the intestinal fortitude to stand up to the Department of the Navy and demand that they fund your studies for Camp Lejeune? I mean, where's the director? He was at that meeting.
Yeah, Dr.
Wright will
be here around noon, Jerry. He's not in the room right now, but he'll be here at noon. So let's move forward, and then when Dr. Wright comes back in the room, we'll go back to that agenda item.
You guys mentioned that they objected to the soil vapor intrusion. Then they also objected to the cancer incident study, too?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you also said that this happened in the February meeting, apparently one that just happened this last week. You guys feel like that you're going to be able to get answers to all their questions by the next meeting that you have with them?
It wasn't really that kind of a situation. They had questions about the vapor intrusion. They had issues with the cancer incident study. In other words, it's not a question of do we need to come back with additional information. They disagree that the cancer incident study is necessary. They're using the NRC report as a basis for that. They said that the mortality studies were inconclusive and couldn't take into account smoking and other issues, and that therefore would not be helpful at all to the Marines who were exposed to Camp Lejeune. And by the way, we have the Janie Ensminger Act, and how would this do anything more than that? So, in a nutshell, they blew a lot of smoke at us about the cancer incident study, to be frank.
Yeah.
I there's not additional information that's necessary. I think, again, with the health assessment coming out, that might help us, but I think that we have to expect that there'll be some pushback on cancer incident study because they feel that these studies are not worth being done because of, again,
a lot
of the arguments that were made in the NRC.
Well,
no,
wait a minute. Did anybody enlighten them to the fact that when the NRC report was issued in June of 2009, that TCE alone had not been declared a known human carcinogen, and TTE was the most prevalent contaminant in the water, and that now it is considered a known human carcinogen, and that every subsequent study that you conducted shows that the cancers that have been identified by science that are caused by exposure to these contaminants are elevated in the lagoon population. Anybody bother to mention that?
It certainly was mentioned. It didn't matter what I said. Okay? If we didn't have, also, there wasn't enough time to have a full debate, but it really was, they were not interested in any of that. Okay? They started off by criticizing the NRC report. They weren't interested in anything. They basically were saying our studies are inconclusive. I reiterate that's not how we interpret our studies. It didn't matter what was being said. Their position was regardless of what was being said. So, again, I think that for the cancer incidence study, I think that, again, the health assessment coming out when we get it out will help the cause there. And I think that
you said that you were kind of having to cut it short to get to the airport, so there are, we talked about some additional points that could be made if there was more time,
but the point, basically the point I could have raised if I had more time was to go over the expertise of the expert panel, which they were impugning, but the person doing the impugning knows very well the expertise of that panel. So,
let me ask you a question. If
it makes no difference what I had to say, this is pretty hard to pass.
I think that
who is the person impugning?
Roger Rennes.
Who? Here's what we'll probably need here is
their epidemiologist.
Well, I think Frank is speaking the obvious. They're not going to do anything unless they're compelled to do it. And they're not interested in anything because they're going to rely on the basis, because their inaction is basically what they're going to use to mitigate their risk. And they're hiding in it, and that's what they're doing.
Here's what is from, like Gary just asked, from ACSDR, from you guys, if we can get IC or, to assist us with providing the case for those studies, because we really need to have those studies. If we need to do something to bug them, get the bug in the right ear.
The most important thing is that the expert panel that was formed, that is a group of people that have got all of the integrity and reputation. I mean, these people are truly experts. That was a great panel that was put together. Dr. Cantor, Dr. Trapp were both there. That's the most important thing. But on top of that, what is this follow-up meeting?
Here in the room. So this is just brief.
since we had our last in-person CAP meeting. The now breast cancer study has undergone agency review. It's very early in that process, but as part of our effort to speed up and streamline the process, we're going to have a meeting with all the reviewers present and talk about the comments to hopefully keep ushering this through so it won't be in there as long as some of the other studies. For the health survey, we're actively analyzing the data, keeping in mind there's over 50 outcomes, and then we're looking at the Marines and the workers, so that's, quite a task there, but we're, I think, on our schedule there. The cancer incident study, we've got in the reviews, we've gotten the peer reviewer comments from everybody except two people. We started just going through them, kind of collating what are the similar issues. We want to wait till we have the full set before we actually begin to formalize the responses, but we are starting that process as well. Health assessment,
For the soil vapor intrusion, we are still trying to finalize that index. What we've run into is some corrupt documents from the Department of Navy. There are about 25 of those. The Navy's they've said they can't find the documents. Those documents are with their software folks, and they're trying to open them up. So once we get those documents back, we will have a complete index. We have set up an FTP site for sharing documents with you all, and we should have the documents that we can share with you loaded before the end of this week. So those documents, again, will be the ATSDR documents, the underground storage tank documents that we've been approved to release, and also the documents from the state of North Carolina. And those documents include EPA documents as well as Department of Navy documents. But it will not include all of the documents. Again, the Navy wants us to provide them documents that we pulled off of their secure sites so they can check them for security and privacy issues. We're also still waiting on the Navy to get back with us with their UST files that we can share with you all.
Okay, I'm going to quickly go into the
North Carolina meeting. For the drinking water reanalysis, I've already talked about that. Again, we're trying to expedite that, but we want a lot of folks to take a look at it. Morris and Frank are looking at it. We want their perspectives as well as other reviewers internally. So we'll do everything we can to expedite that. We know how important that is to the other follow-up activities.
You're not going to let us look at it, though, right?
You guys will be peer reviewers, so once we clear it in-house, you'll be getting a copy of it as peer reviewers. Yeah, once you get a copy of it as a peer reviewer, it is embargoed. It's not ready for public comment release. We want to get feedback from the peer reviewers so we can address the comments, at which point it'll be released to the public. Any questions? Okay.
Let's quickly, Dr. Bryce, you just got in the room, but I want to quickly go over quickly the North Carolina CAP meeting, which is going to be May 12th to 13th through the 13th. I did sign the contract for the embassy suites on Friday. So a couple things, we had a meeting on Thursday the 19th with some of the CAP members and some of the folks here at ATSDR to start the planning for what that meeting's going to look like and the outreach. So I'll let anybody who was on that call, if anybody wants to talk about that real quick, or we can move to the next agenda item. So just quickly, the one thing that came out of the planning meeting is we discussed like all the outreach to veteran service organizations, different radio stations in the area, AP, everything. And then we're going to have a weekly call and
bi-weekly until we get into April, and then we'll start having probably weekly calls so we can get this thing fine-tuned.
I understand there was a request from you to ask a letter to ask you for a mailing list, or...
So what the plan is to for us to write a letter that would be an outreach letter to everybody who's in the registry saying, hey, we're going to have this meeting in North Carolina.
All the notifications.
Yes. To notify them about the meeting so they're aware of it. And so that's where we're going to write a letter.
They send it on our behalf.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody's drafting that for
me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, wasn't that supposed to be brought up at the meeting Friday?
Yeah, it was brought up verbally.
Well?
Yep. Frank talked about it, and I think...
Not at the meeting itself. I talked to Scott, and I talked to Pat about it. So, Scott just mentioned that they may have to spend some money, but other than that, there's no legal issues, so... So, we don't expect any problem.
I have a question, Sheila. This is Bernard Door.
Yeah.
I want to talk when we did there in Atlanta, what is it that a lot of the stuff not presented to the vets from here in Atlanta? Because I talked to maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 veterans a day, and they haven't even heard of mesothelioma gene contamination.
All right. Yeah, that's some of the things that we're talking about on this outreach. So I know we're going to be talking about building a better website and trying to get information like that out. So you can help us with that, Bernard, when we get...
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you.
I'm going to go back. Jerry, Dr. Bryce is in the room now. If you had questions around the meeting on Friday.
Let me give you my sense of the meeting real quick.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
So, it was my first interaction. So as with everything here, this is a learning experience for me. So it was a very interesting meeting from my perspective. So we talked about principally two things. One was a protrusion study, and the other one was a cancer incidence study. And they're interested in how much it's going to cost and what are they going to get for the money and how does it fit into the bigger picture of things. And you probably spent two-thirds of the time on vapor intrusion and maybe one-third on the cancer incidence study. Normal kind of back and forth, but Frank did a great job explaining kind of what we're doing, why we're doing it. And I think the cancer study was presented well also. So we left it a little bit up in the air. We're going to get some material back to them on a cancer study. There's going to be a follow-up, not the cancer study, on the paper truth study. There's going to be a follow-up meeting here in a month, again, focusing on the budget. But we invited the technical experts to come down to spend more time with us so we can do a better job explaining exactly what we're doing in terms of the vapor intrusion work.
So you invited who?
They're going to identify some of their subject matter experts who are doing some vapor intrusion work down to spend some time with us so we can understand what they're doing and they can understand what we're doing. So the next meeting will be in March. Somebody help me out.
17th to the 19th.
Oh. Take that expansion, remember that? And that's mostly going to focus on budgetary stuff, but now we're going to add this subject matter kind of expert component to it as well. I think we only talked about the vapor intrusion stuff.
Right.
Now, anybody else at that meeting have anything additional to add? Or?
No, we kind of presented ours.
I have a question. This is Jerry Hensman. Dr. Pricey, are you prepared to stand up to them if they decline to fund the cancer incident study?
Where we left it was that one of my last statements was that we are the nation's public health center of excellence, and this is what we feel needs to be done to address the public health issues at this site. And I just left it at that, and we'll have to see how that flows and where that goes. But to answer your question, we're prepared to stand behind what we think needs to be done.
All right. And, you know, somebody made the comment earlier that with the passage of the Janie Ensminger Act and all that, what further good would these studies do? Your job isn't just Camp Lejeune. I mean, your job is, you're absolutely correct, you're public health. And, gee whiz, go figure. You know, not only is the Department of the Navy and the Department of Veterans Affairs claiming that the exposures at Camp Lejeune were, you know, minuscule and they didn't cause any harm. Well, they're the ones that keep saying it didn't do anything. So, naturally, we're going to keep pushing to show that it did. And each study that you do, and each report that comes out, the picture gets brighter and brighter, and, well, gloomier and gloomier, depending on how you look at it. I'm looking at it from the scientific side of it.
And so, I think the point I got from that message is we can't sell this as exclusively being just to advance the science of our understanding. That's an important part of what we're doing, but that's just part of what we're doing. And when Frank introduced that, they immediately pushed back and said, wait a minute, our job is not to advance the science. And he was very clear, because that's part of what we're doing, but that's not the whole reason why we're doing it. There is a commitment to understanding that goes to the scientific community, but also goes to the heart of the matter in terms of, you know, what happened there and what diseases are present and how does that play into medical care delivery system and a compensation system. There are still important questions about that. And ultimately, the cancer study will hopefully put to death this argument that your point estimates are high but your confidence is so wide you really don't know what's going on there. And I thought we made that point very clear. And hopefully, you know, the cancer study will narrow those confidence intervals and we'll have a better point estimate or more defensible point estimate of the increased cancer risk as a result.
One of the other questions, Dr. Bricey, before you came in was that I brought up was that the foundation, your very foundation, was their statutory requirements, which you can hold them to, are based upon the public health assessment. And when are we going to see the reissuance of we were told that you were going to issue this thing, or the agency was going to issue this thing in pieces. And, you know, the water modeling information has been available since the end of 2012 to people down there. Why haven't we seen the reissuance of that, the public health assessment, at least for the water, drinking water?
We, Jerry, we could have issued a document just based on Morris's work, but we wouldn't have captured the exposures that took place to those using the swimming pools for recreation, those using them for training, and also the laundry workers and the dining hall workers. And
well, it's like I told you before on that issue, Rick, why did everybody wait so long to even ask about that?
I don't know the answer to that, but we're doing our best. Our commitment is to get that public health assessment out as soon as we can, that's as defensible as we think we can make it.
Well, I know this isn't your fault, Dr. Bryson, because you weren't good to help when all this was just lagging around down there.
I understand. But I'll have to follow up to discuss with you this day or tomorrow to find out, to my satisfaction, where things stand, and provide any resources I think are needed to move it along as quickly as possible.
Well, if you need any congressional support, let me know.
I know where to go.
So we were talking earlier a little bit. We were talking about this earlier before you came in the room. We were saying that, you know, their tactic is going to be to not give an answer so that, you know, you're working with air and there's nothing to push against. So they're just going to keep delaying and asking questions that they know is going to take a lot of time to answer, you can't answer, this, that, and the other. So I would just say, you know, not only ask if you're willing to stand up to them, but also ask if you're willing to, not allow them to use this delay tactic so that they're just keep going down the road. And I would rather have an answer that we can all go to our congresspeople with and say, you know, they're saying no, so what do we need to do about it? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I think we'll know pretty clear about if they're going to say no, because there's urgent budget implications for them agreeing to move forward. And if they don't move forward soon, my office, my budget people are going to come back to me and say, you guys have a problem. So if we don't get that allocated money very, very soon, we'll have a bit of a concern here that I have to deal with. And part of dealing with it will be informing you all that the money has stopped. And at that point, we'll have to talk about what the options are going forward. So hopefully we're not going to get to that point.
We've been there before.
Yeah, I thought you'd
get it, Jerry. I just keep reminding myself that basically, you know, if we were dealing with a corporation, they would be on the defense, you know, about what they did to the water at you know, a Superfund site. So, and then here we are defending ourselves and our right to explore exactly what happened and what is still happening. It's you know, and Jerry's been doing it for so long, I don't know how he's still going up against it.
Well, let me, I'll give you a little insight on that. The Department of the Navy and the Department of Defense are not unlike industry in some ways. They're using industry tactics. However, their MO is to attack, and they attack and attack, and a lot of their attacks are based on nothing. It's false bravado, and they're just trying to make the opponent blink. And I can tell you now, Dr. Bryce, if you don't blink, they'll back down.
So the tactic I see is not unlike the industry in this, that they're helping to create scientific uncertainty, and then they're taking advantage of that scientific uncertainty to discount what warriors think. So that's a common model, MO,
for discounting time. You foster uncertainty, and then you take advantage of the uncertainty to argue against what you're trying to show. So,
yeah, I mean, the NRC report was funded, and the charge was written by the Department of the Navy back in 2007.
Yeah, that's how the NRC and IOM works. Whoever pays for the review gets to say what the review is going to be about.
Hey, this is Danielle Carrazza. I just had a brief question. You mentioned that you got the sense that they wanted to know what they're going to get from this report or from funding these two reports. Do you have any idea what they want to get outside of deniability?
Well, that's it, Danielle.
Is that it? I guess that should have been my question. Is that all they're looking for?
Yeah.
Well, the big protrusion study, I think, is probably where we kind of had the biggest kind of gap, I think, between what they want. So they want us to articulate more clearly, and I think it's just fair, and I'm not quite sure how to do it. You know, what are we going to do with the data afterwards? And how is it going to feed into a broader health assessment? If they're going to invest in all this work, what's it going to end up in? And, you know, obviously, you know, we said it's going to help us understand the inhalation route, but I think it goes beyond that there. Once you get a number, what's in the air, how are you going to decide, you know, historically, current tense, whether it's high, whether it's low, and I think maybe those are some things that we haven't thought enough yet that we hope to do very soon.
Okay.
Well, and Lori hit on a good, when she was leading up a good question, she didn't quite finish it the right way, but I'll finish it.
Well, tell me what Lori should have said, Gary.
Well, she was talking about the path forward. And then she dropped off, but I want to ask it a little more in detail. Are you prepared to keep the ball moving forward on these studies, even if they decline to fund it, while the fight goes on to make them fund it?
Now, what do you mean by keep the ball rolling? Am I going to advocate for this stuff? Am I going to try and keep the pressure on them to fund what we think they need to fund? The answer is yes.
No, well, I mean, are you going to keep the are you going to keep the work moving?
We'll have to look at that, and there has to be some trade-offs, I think, between what we can keep moving and what we can't keep moving. I can't promise you I can float $2 million to kind of keep this ball rolling, but we've already floated a fair amount of money, to be honest with you, Jerry, to start the work on now without it. So we are keeping the ball rolling, but there's limits to what we can afford to fund out of our own pocket. So there's substantial resources that we've paid already out of pocket that if they don't come through, that money is at risk. And so to answer your question, we're doing it now, but I don't know how much longer we can keep doing it for.
Well, by law, you can continue and fund these things and then send them a bill after the fact.
We'll see how that goes. But I'm hoping not to get to that point. I really, really am.
Well, I am too. But, I mean, this cancer incident study is going to take 5 damn years. I mean, and, you know, this plays right into their hand as far as delay, because each initiative that comes out, each report gets worse in their eyes, not in science's eyes. And you know, this is one of their tactics, just keep delaying.
Yeah.
So
Every day that they delay this is a disservice to the families and the victims of the people there. They've already had to suffer for 30, 40 years not knowing about this. So, I mean, they deserve the knowledge of what happened. They're a true account of what happened. That I don't think their comment saying that they didn't want to create science, well, they wouldn't have had to create science if they hadn't fed chemicals to people that they didn't know what it does to humans.
Well, they should have followed their own regulations. That's where they were.
Jerry, first, thanks for improving upon my comments. And second, Tim had asked earlier if there was, you know, anything that we can have that we can take to Congress, we would appreciate being sent our way. Anything justifying the Cancer Incidence Study and the vapor intruders, you know, just so we have as much ammo when we go to, you know, for instance, you know, Senator Whitehouse here is who I'm trying to zoom in on, and everybody's got their own people. So I think it's a good idea, anything you can send our way that we can use so that we are, as Jerry says, always says, you know, have the documents.
Well, I mean, and with that being said, why don't you send a letter to the Secretary of the Navy and copy the Secretary of Defense asking them if they fully intend to withhold funding, or are they going to provide funding for your continued Camp Lejeune initiative?
So we simply asked that question already. So let's wait and hear from the people we asked it what the answer is. So, I think there's a channel, and I think before we go to the Secretary of Navy, let's see how this plays out. So I left the meeting cautiously optimistic because there was one senior person there, his name I can't remember. He was very, I think, aware of kind of what the politics were, and every time the discussion got a little bit too aggressive in terms of why you're doing stuff, he came back and he brought it to everybody back to the middle and said, you know, we understand, we're just trying to think about, you know, how this fits in, don't worry. So I felt he was probably closer to the decision making process, and he seemed to understand the consequences of not paying us what those would be. So in terms of what happens in terms of your advocacy and on the study's behalf, you know, that's something we can't play a role in, as you know. So we're happy to tell you about what we're trying to do, what all the constraints are about what we're trying to do. We'll educate you about why we think it's important. But at that point, you know, that's what we do.
Yeah, but, you know, we can't go to Congress with just, well, we think they're going to, you know, withhold.
We'll provide you, as we will all our stakeholders, information about what we're trying to do and why we're trying to do it. And at some point, we hit a roadblock, we can't go forward. We'll inform everybody about what's stopping us. And then I think, you know, whatever happens.
Well, I think you should try a new approach. I think you should walk into the next meeting and say, the attitude from the government is that this is not a big deal, and this is, you know, people smoked, and there's nothing going to show up. So just tell them that what you're going to provide them is deniability.
Well, that smoking, all that's bullshit. That's all that is, okay? I mean, you know, the people of Pendleton smoke just as much as the damn people at Camp Lejeune, and you've got a higher incidence of these specific cancers that are directly linked to the exposures of the chemicals that were in the water at Camp Lejeune. So, you know, there goes their compounders right out the window.
Hey, Jerry, and don't forget obesity, right? Everybody over at Lejeune evidently was just a bunch of fat smoking people sitting around doing nothing.
Oh,
so,
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Sarcasm intended. So.
All that barbecue.
Yeah, yeah. Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah. Did I hear earlier that during the meeting, the other side question or objected to the CAP members' participation in the Cancer Incidence Study meeting?
Yes.
Push back on it?
Yeah, only in the context that I guess they were misled, perhaps. I don't know the communication, so I don't want to give them anything, you know, about who the meeting was open to and who it wasn't open to. There's a misunderstanding about that. And going forward, I think we just have to be clear about these meetings, about what the ground rules for participation are. We have to make that available to all stakeholders, what those ground rules are, and whatever participation is needed to kind of keep things clear and transparent, we're committed to that. I think it was just a misunderstanding about, you know, who was going to allow to sit in and who wasn't, and so forth. And so that we can just do a better job of that ourselves in the future.
Well, the Department of the Navy has been provided the opportunity to sit in at all the meetings, and they initially participated and attended
all of our CAP meetings, all the expert panel meetings, and then all of a sudden they quit. And that was after the discovery of the fuel leaks and the benzene. They just refused to come to any more CAP meetings, and they sent a token representative to take notes. And they have the opportunity to attend any meeting, just like we do.
We want to make it clear for the Cancer Incidence Advisory Committee meetings who we think is appropriate to sit in and listen, who is appropriate to participate. We'll make it clear to everybody, and if the Department of Navy wants to send somebody as a result of those decisions we make, that's great. If not, that's their decision. So we just want to, I want to sit down and talk. I haven't, you know, met with them to talk about the advisory committee and what their rules are. We're going to talk about that. And whatever appropriate to attend, we'll make that clear to everybody.
Okay.
So, folks, we're about out of time. Real quick, I'll go ahead and do CAP members. Do you have any concerns or anything that we need to address before we hang up?
You want more?
No.
I do have a question. Can you verify the address of the embassy suite? It's 204 Center Point Drive, Greensboro, North Carolina. Is that correct? The one by the airport?
Yes, right by the airport.
Okay, there's always more. Right. Now that we know the address, is there a block of rooms that's reserved that we could tell people?
Yeah, in fact, probably at the end of this week, I hope to have something out to everybody that you can call in for your rooms. I do have a block of rooms.
Okay, and then also some for the general public, right? The people who would like to come and attend outside of our meeting and so forth.
Well, we don't block rooms for general public.
Okay.
They're at federal rates.
Okay, I just want to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you
give us
one quick note on the immunotoxicology that we're
sending
the invitation?
I sent Dr. Scher an invitation letter last week, and I have not heard back from him. I did send another letter to somebody else asking if they could follow up to see if he got it, because I do not know him. But I asked somebody if he does know him to follow up.
Everybody's shoveling still here in Boston.
Yeah.
Shoveling what? Yeah.
So, but yes, Lori, there was an invitation sent out to him.
Yeah, I think some members might not even know that we got the green light to invite him. So I just want to let everybody know that we're moving forward on that so that they can tell their, you know, the people that they feel like they're representing. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Lori, can I just thank you really quick for the access to your blog page, your stuff? I found that story you wrote very moving. And I tried to respond. I'm not quite sure you heard back, but my thanks for making that available to me.
I did, and I appreciate you reading it. That makes me feel great. Thank you. And Lakeisha's story is definitely one that, like I said, it's kind of, when I get down, I think it's that family. And I also was thinking of inviting her mother, Catherine, to the meeting in Greensboro. I would love to have her there. So thank you very much for reading.
Well, thank you for the
action.
Okay. Sheila, this is Jerry. How about providing us an update on the review process of where the revised public health assessment's at for each call we have from here on out?
Okay. So our next monthly call will be March 16th. Which, unfortunately, here, let me ask this question, because we could do it on the 16th, or I could do it a week later, because we're going to have the APOM call and the Department of Defense meeting, and we won't have any information to update you on Department of Defense until the following week. Would you rather have me postpone this meeting for a week so we can have at least more information, because we'll already have that meeting that you guys are very interested in today?
I would rather wait, yeah. I think that makes total sense.
Well, I have a complaint.
Okay.
They're not including us in the damn APAL meeting.
Well, anyway,
what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
I'll pick it up with them.
All right, good. Thank you.
But I guess everybody's okay with hoping off a week for our next call, so we have some feedback, right?
A month from today.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
that meeting, and then for the folks that are in the plant, two things for you guys. March 2nd is the deadline if you have any information for the charter from the CAP. And then the second thing is we'll have our second planning meeting next week on Thursday at 9 o'clock. Okay, thank you guys for calling in.